the requirement under the CSRD is going to be a dual materiality requirement. So it's not just how the sustainability issues impact the company and its ability to continue as a going concern, but also how the sustainability matters impact those outside of the company. So it requires a look inside and also a look outside to figure out the impacts on people and on the environment.
Human trafficking doesn't always take the form we first imagine. It can be found at almost any level of an organization's supply chain. What can compliance professionals do to assess human trafficking risk, and how can they leverage the resources of the organizations they work for to help root out this tragic problem? Gwen Hassan is here to help. This is Hidden Traffic.
Hello, and welcome to a solo episode of Hidden Traffic. This is your host, Gwen Hassan. I am providing a quick set of updates on some developments in the world of human trafficking and human trafficking prevention, things I think you need to know. Last year, we had a guest on from Novartis, who talked to us a little bit about the EU's new set of regulations related to supply chain and supply chain diligence, and what we thought was coming down the pike in that regard. That was referred to as the NFRD, the Non-Financial Reporting Directive. That was mainly aimed at large EU-listed entities, companies and banks and insurance providers and other large entities that were designated as being large by an EU member state. What has happened is there has now been a new development. Am I saying new within the last 60 days? It was actually over Thanksgiving here in the United States, that the European Council formally adopted a new Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, otherwise known as CSRD. It was, adopted on November 28th, and it's now due to be signed and published by the European Union's official journal. It is intended to replace the NFRD. It has broadened in scope a bit and now applies to a larger number of companies. It is also designed to kind of align with some other key European Union sustainable financial initiatives that were adopted back in 2021 called the SFDR. So many acronyms, I know. The Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation, and the EU Taxonomy Regulation. So all of these things together now are designed to align. So the CSRD, the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, now better aligns with the SFDR and the EU Taxonomy Regulation. What does this mean for you? Why do you care? Because the scope of the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive is broader than the prior NFRD was. It applies to a larger number of companies, both public and private, and it has a 2026 effective date, in some cases 2028, depending on the size of your company. So the entities that are covered are kind of three categories. There's the micro company and the small company and the medium company, and then everyone else. So a large company is one that is in the EU, so doing business in the EU, or is an EU subsidiary of a non-EU company, and it satisfies at least two of three different criteria. And the three are more than 250 employees on average during the financial year, a net turnover that is more than 40 million euro, and a balance sheet total that is more than 20 million euro. So if you meet two of those three, then your company will be considered a large undertaking under the CSRD. And all of those entities will be subject to this. And the parent of any large entity will also be subject to it as well. As of January 1, 2026, there will be the requirement to comply, but there is an opt-out for small and micro and medium-sized enterprises until 2028. So the definitions of those are obviously less than 250 employees. That makes you a medium-sized enterprise. Less than 50 makes you small, and less than 10 makes you micro. And there's different turnover requirements too. So less than 50 million euro makes you medium, or I'm sorry, 40 million on an annual basis. Less than 10 million euro makes you small, and less than 2 million euro makes you a micro entity. So from all financial years that start on or after January 1, 2028, all of those entities will have to comply with the CSRD. It will also apply, interestingly, to non-European Union entities that are now labeled as third country undertakings, new definition, that have a net turnover in the EU of more than 150 million euro. So if they have more than that, and they have either an EU branch office or they are a subsidiary, then it will also apply to those non-EU companies. So there will be additional kind of standards and directions about how to report under the CSRD. And those standards are to be adopted by the European Commission by June of next year. So those standards will be forthcoming and should give us a little more information. But kind of at its core, we believe that it's going to be directly relevant to human trafficking, because the requirement under the CSRD is going to be a dual materiality requirement. So it's not just how the sustainability issues impact the company and its ability to continue as a going concern, but also how the sustainability matters impact those outside of the company. So it requires a look inside and also a look outside to figure out the impacts on people and on the environment. So there will be elements of materiality for the reporting requirements around strategy, targets, governance, policies, incentives that you're providing, due diligence, impacts, remedial actions, risks, and the reporting scope. So all of this information, both qualitative and quantitative, will have to be both forward-looking and retrospective and take into account short, medium, and long-term horizons, both inside and outside of the company. Just reading that all makes me tired, let alone thinking about implementing that. So it does say also that undertakings, meaning companies, entities that are falling within these definitions in the EU, will also be required to disclose information not only about themselves and their own operations, but their value chain, including products, services, business relationships, and the winning term here, their supply chains. So from a human trafficking standpoint, this means that the new CSRD will now require, in my view, that entities that are doing business in the EU are prepared to provide full information about their due diligence efforts on their supply chain. So multiple levels in, and they will look at things like human rights requirements. The commission noted specifically that there are sector-specific standards that they will apply for sectors of the business world that have particularly high risk when it comes to the environment and human rights and governance. So, an early heads up on this. I mean, it's just been passed within the last 60 days, and we don't have the implementing kind of standards yet that will be used for reporting. Like I said, those will come in June of next year, but I don't think most companies can afford to wait until we get to the, you know, middle or end of 24 if reporting is going to be required in 26. So, of course, as we always talk about, you need to start figuring out how your company is going to come up with a plan and with targets and with diligence around environmental, social, and governance issues, and specifically around human trafficking prevention for purposes of this podcast, right? So the other thing that will be interesting about this is they've specifically stated that they want to prevent greenwashing. And so they will be introducing an EU-wide audit assurance requirement for reported sustainability information. So previously, under the old NFRD, audit assurance was optional, but under the new CSRD, the commission will adopt legislation that will provide for, you know, an audit assurance. It will be phased in, so there'll be a limited assurance to start with by October 1 of 26, and then there'll be a higher reasonable assurance requirement that'll kick in by October of 28. So EU member states will have the ability to appoint an independent assurance service provider that will carry out that sustainability assurance work. So you can expect that, I mean, this is great news if you're an audit firm, but there will be many, many firms now that will be providing this kind of audit and assurance specifically as it relates to sustainability and this CSRD directive. So heads up on that. I will be looking over the next, you know, few months to see, as we get more information about this, who can come and talk to the podcast with more specificity about what this will be looking like in terms of rollout, how it relates to, you know, some of the other task forces and pieces of legislation that we're seeing in the EU, like perhaps the German Due Diligence Act. So stay tuned. More to come on the new CSRD, but something you should be including in your risk assessments, in your plans, in your kind of things to do in the future, because the reporting requirements that are going to come out of this, if you're doing business in Europe, even if you have 10 employees in Europe and $2 million in Europe, within the next 5 years, you're going to be subject to this. And they're really significant compared to what we thought was going to be in place under the NFRD. So given that it's a broader scope and it applies to a much bigger universe of companies, even ones that are considered to be tiny by most standards, there's going to be, you know, a significant increase in disclosure requirements, which then, of course, will increase cost. You'll have to do subsidiary level reporting that will roll up. There may be consolidated reporting requirements. And of course, with the new kind of assurance part of this statutory program, you know, you'll have to make sure that information that you're reporting in relation to your supply chain and your due diligence, and for that matter, specifically your human trafficking prevention, is auditable and verified. So yay. I know that sounds daunting, at least it does to me, but I mean, at least we have a heads up that we've got a few years to work on this, and we'll see what happens on the US side, whether there are similar developments. But if you have operations in Europe, then start preparing sooner rather than later. Different topic. This is not specifically a to-do item, but it is an interesting story that I wanted to point out to all of you. If you haven't seen it already, a few days ago, there was an article in Wired magazine, and you can access it online, about Meta and an issue that they are having in Africa, specifically in Kenya. I think this is fascinating. So it's an example of damned if you do, damned if you don't for corporate America. I think people need to be aware of it, especially when it comes to online service providers and social media groups. So the allegations are that a man named Daniel was living in South Africa, and he was offered a job for an outsourcing company. And the outsourcing company is called Sama, and they are based in Nairobi, Kenya. So he moved. He packed up everything and left South Africa and moved to Nairobi so that he could work for this company, Sama. He was hired specifically because of his Zulu language skills, but wasn't very clear as to what he was going to be doing. When he started work, Daniel alleges, he discovered that he would be spending 8 hours a day, or in some cases more, doing content mediation for Meta. And if you're not familiar with the idea of content mediation, it means that Daniel was required to look at some of the most horrific things you can imagine in terms of content on the internet. So posts and videos about child abuse and suicide and beheadings and, I mean, just horrible, violent things that Meta has, according to their policy, refused to post on their social media sites. So the only way right now that Meta has to review and to moderate that content is to have people review it, have human beings look at it and decide whether it meets their terms of use and whether or not it can be posted. Daniel was one of those people that was hired to do that through this outsourcing company called Sama. He alleges he was paid $2 an hour and was viewing content that was so graphic that it left him with post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a quote in the article where he says it was emotionally and mentally devastating. He says, I went in okay and I went out not okay. It changed the person I was. Daniel started pushing to form a union so that the moderators could try and advocate for better pay and for more support for this horrible work that they had to do. And when he did that, he alleges, 6 months in to the job, he was fired. And so he has now filed suit against the outsourcing company, Sama, and also Meta. Meta, not surprisingly, tried to get themselves removed from the case, saying, we shouldn't be subject to this because this is the outsourcing company, Sama. It's not us. And we don't do business in Kenya. So we're not subject to jurisdiction in Kenya. Interestingly, though, the court has ruled that Daniel's case can move forward and that Meta will be required to respond and has not been and will not be dismissed from the case. The court said specifically that Meta can be held accountable under Kenyan law for the psychological damage and labor violations faced by Daniel and the other content moderators that were working there. So I wanted to talk about this because it's estimated that Meta alone has somewhere in the neighborhood of 15,000 moderators that are spread across the world through these different kinds of outsourcing companies. So it reminded me very much of other services and offshoring that companies that are not in the social media space also have. I know there are many manufacturers and consulting firms and law firms, for that matter, that outsource services to quote-unquote low-cost countries and do that through a series of agreements with third parties. And the thought process has been largely, okay, well, we're outsourcing these services. We ask the third party that we do business with to certify that they will agree to our code of conduct. And we tell them that they can't engage in human trafficking. And so we've met our burden. We're good. But this kind of case would seem to indicate no. And that doing that, even having contractual clauses in place and doing some level of diligence is not enough. That companies can still be held potentially liable and subject to the jurisdiction of countries that they aren't physically in except for through a third-party contract arrangement. In this case, the working conditions that are alleged by Daniel violate Kenyan law, and actually under Kenyan law can constitute human trafficking because workers were threatened with being fired or being otherwise penalized if they didn't accept the working conditions that they found themselves in, which was reviewing horribly emotionally damaging content for $2 an hour. So you either accept that or we fire you. And that, allegedly, under Kenyan law, at least according to this Wired article, may qualify as coercion and forced labor and human trafficking. So I bring this up because it's going to be an interesting case to watch and seems to be aligning in an interesting way with like the Uyghur Forced Labor Protection Act, which is close to a system of being held completely liable for anything that happens in your supply chain, even if you're not aware of it, even if you had no knowledge of it, you must, and you will be held to a high standard when human trafficking and forced labor is potentially involved. And as in the Uyghur Forced Labor Protection Act, that high standard is we're going to block your goods until you can prove that they weren't made with forced labor or human trafficking. So it's interesting that we seem to be headed to a place where there's a kind of strict liability applying in supply chain for many types of companies, even internet service provider companies like Meta. So case to watch is that Meta case out of Kenya involving Daniel and his co-workers. So I've raised that because it seems like an interesting trend that we may be at the beginning of in terms of liability for all different types of companies. So keep an eye out. I'll keep you up to date. If I learn of any new developments in the case, I'll certainly report them here. So those are my updates for this solo episode. Get ready for CSRD, that Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive in the EU. Start looking at whether it affects your company operations and when it might do so. And remember that it's as few as 10 employees and as little as $2 million of turnover within Europe will subject you to that new reporting requirement. And then keep an eye on this Meta case out of Kenya. Thank you very much for listening. And I have a lot of great episodes coming up soon. I'm excited. I'm actually recording one in a few days, one next week and one the week after. So you'll have new and interesting guests coming soon. So stay tuned.